Well, good morning, church. We got me on here. That's good. Good morning, church. I'm glad to see everybody here today. My name is Newton Grotzinger. I am one of your elders here at Faith. And when I first sat down, there wasn't quite this many people here, but it's good to see. This is the first time that I've had the opportunity to share like this. And believe it or not, I've always kind of looked forward to it. So I just kind of want to go through a few things before we get into Ephesians. A few weeks back, I had the opportunity to see my visit my mom in Minnesota, God bless her, and she mentioned to me, she says, you know, when you were young, you always wanted to be a preacher. And I'm like, oh, okay, that must have been like early teens. It's probably when I had my, am I not to move or what? Probably had my conversion and when I put my faith into Jesus and was baptized, which was about 14. And so I was like, okay, that's very true. And, well, here I am several years later, we'll just say, and I have this opportunity to talk. And I'm looking forward to this. So how did we come up with unity in Christ? Well, it's a good story because I've got a lot of things I've always kind of had in my back pocket that I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about heaven, which I am going to touch on a little bit today. I thought about worship and prayer, and prayer and fasting. I also thought about one that I'm sure that my family would love to hear me talk about, and that's be childlike, not childish. I haven't grown up yet, but I'm working on it. And so as we went through, I was reading in Ephesians here several weeks ago, and I still have a bit of an echo here, don't I? I do anyway. And I was reading the first chapter of Ephesians, and I ended up stopping numerous times, which isn't, you know, unusual to stop once in a while and meditate on the verses, but I was seeing many of these. And I got through the first chapter, and I looked at it, and I says, okay, what are we saying here? Is this something, and I knew at this point that I was going to have to give a message, and I was looking at all these other options, and this is what stood out to me. And so I thought, okay, well, what do we name this? It's pretty easy. Go back to the first part of the chapter, and it says right there, unity in Christ. And so that is what we decided to go with. Now, the verses today will not be on the screen. So if you want to follow along in your Bible or your electronic device or whatever, that's fine. Otherwise, I'll be reading the verses, and then we'll be discussing them. I'm going to start with the first two verses, hopefully. Ephesians 1, 1 and 2, it says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. It is written to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May grace, peace be yours, sent to you from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. So a little bit about this here. Paul is the one who, of course, wrote Ephesians, wrote the letter to the church. Paul, at this point, has been a Christian for about 30 years since his conversion. He's currently spending time in prison in Rome. And as he's going through this, he's still sending out letters to all these churches that he's been in. Because if you remember, he also was on three missionary trips, ended up shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, whipped. He went through quite a bit of things in his life. And if you look at the New Testament, out of the New Testament, there's like 27 books in the New Testament. He's written over half, or well, right at half of those. So half of our New Testament is relied upon by Paul. He's writing to Ephesus, but he's also writing to us, or to any church that is God-fearing. And he never stopped encouraging these guys. He always wanted them to grow and to maintain a unity with Christ. And he starts with the first chapter, and he starts reviewing and kind of setting the groundwork for the rest of the chapter here. But in the first verse, he mentions faithful followers. That's quite a monocle to ask somebody to be. Would we say that our church here at Faith are faithful followers of Jesus Christ? I hope we'd say yes. I would. And I'll get into that a little more later. But I think as we read through this and he starts talking to this church in Ephesus, that we would agree with that also. Okay, so I'm going to go through verses 3 through 8. And it says, excuse me, how we praise God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because of being in Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy, without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. And by the way, I am reading out of an older version of NLT, so some of the words may not, it's a 1996 version. So if you're following along in NLT, you might see a couple of words that are different. There's no change in our meaning here. So if this works for me, there we go. So in these verses here, we can see Paul talks about, we praise God for spiritual blessings. What are those? Well, one, being chosen for salvation. Two, being a part of his family. And three, being forgiven. When we talk about being chosen into his family, or being chosen for salvation, God's salvation can't be bought. We know that. The only way that we can is we have to accept that gift. And that's part of his grace. We have to sit there and say, it's a gift that's given to us. Grace is receiving something we don't deserve, right? And that's God's grace, and he gives that to us. In verse 5, he talks about being a part of his family. I don't know about you, but I love my family. I love Faith Family. And I know God loves our family, too. And so, you know, family is extremely important, but to be a part of God's family, that's pretty special. And the only way that we can, again, would be through the sacrifice of Jesus. And then he talks about being forgiven, which forgiveness we receive through God, and it's his mercy. And mercy, on the other hand, is not receiving what we desire or deserve. When we talk about mercy, all of us, when we're at the age of knowing what we're doing, we're kind of on an autopilot for hell. Well, it sounds odd, but we are. Until we make that choice to accept Jesus, that's what it is. And so God's mercy is, once we accept Jesus and bring him into our life, that we can sit here and say, yes, he's provided us with something that we do not deserve. Or he's given us our grace, but he has saved us from what we do deserve, which would be, in other words, hell. It's a little tough to understand that, maybe, but it's a portion of our life. In reading the next section here, I'm going to go through 9 through 14. It says, God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is his plan. At the right time, he'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we will have received an inheritance from God. He will choose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who are the first to trust in Christ Jesus, which were the Jews, should praise our glorious God. And now you also, Gentiles, have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised to you long ago. The Spirit of God guarantees that he will give you everything he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. And so as we look here and we talk about what is God's plan, he goes through God's plan pretty well here. Salvation for the world. That Jews and Gentiles would be united through Christ and the Holy Spirit being our guarantee and our power. When we talk about the salvation, 1 Timothy, another letter that he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:4, he talks about wanting everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved, and he wants them to know the truth. And so in doing so, we now have the Jews and the Gentiles during this time coming together, because we know God's people were, you know, the Jews, and then after Jesus, even Jesus went strictly to the Jews for the most part, and then he sent out these to the Gentiles, which would be us, I think, unless somebody here is Jewish that I don't know about. But it's a gift, and by doing so, we all have the opportunity to speak to everybody who's out there, all the Jews, all the Gentiles. What is our purpose? To save as many people as possible, isn't it? To let people know this. And how are we going to do that? Well, the Holy Spirit is our guarantee and our power. When we sit there and sometimes say, what am I going to tell somebody? Or how am I going to talk to somebody? It's not you. It's your Holy Spirit that's going to be helping you. Trust yourself. Maybe just a hi, how are you? Starts a conversation that takes you somewhere where you need to go. It's an easy way. We don't have to have it all. Let the Spirit help you. So the Spirit is like your down payment. He's going to help you grow. He's going to challenge you. And he's going to provide unity for us. When we talk about all this, and we talk about in here that he has a promise for us, he's also talking about heaven. And I'm going to take a little bit of a sidebar here, and because I think it's important. There's a lot of different concepts of heaven. Randy Elkhorn, and I know several of you have read the book Heaven here, has a lot to say about that, very scriptural. And if you have never seen that book or read it, I would recommend it. But he goes through several things, and one of his comments in there is, if you cannot envision heaven, you cannot look forward to it. Makes sense to me. Okay? I don't think it's going to be a 24/7 sing-along. I don't think we're going to be all floating on clouds playing harps. Okay? But there will be worship. And there'll be worship that we can't even imagine. How special is that? They may do a great job up here. And I hope they're doing even a greater job up there. Because when we think about it, when we go to heaven, which is our goal, right? Besides saving people, we want to get to heaven, don't we? Anybody here not want to go to heaven? No. Okay, good. Our senses are going to be enhanced. Imagine this. Maybe new colors. Maybe new textures. New tastes. New smells. New sounds. Maybe we'll have new instruments. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting, though. And maybe it'll look like this. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's a thing on or off. There we go. Off, on, off, on. Oh, I got to hold it. Thank you. Might be a little water park back here. I don't know. Okay. So this is a pretty peaceful one. I just know that when I was young, this is obviously before those preteen ages, when I sat in church, like my grandkids are here, I often thought, heaven, huh, that doesn't sound too exciting to me. Right? Maybe some adults think that way sometimes. But if you're not excited about it, it's going to be really hard to enjoy it. And it's going to be great. Maybe it doesn't look like this. Maybe you like something a little more peaceful, colorful. Or maybe you're thinking about the city of gold, walls of jasper. You could read in Revelations 21, there's a lot to say about the heaven and earth coming down. And I think it'll be very interesting. Think about our current earth just for a moment, okay? What if there was no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin, no more death, and no more corruption? Just in the earth that we have currently. Wouldn't this be great? God didn't make any mistakes when he created the earth, okay? God didn't make any mistakes. We know that because in Genesis 1:31, he says, when he got done with everything and he looked out over it, and he says, this is excellent, or in some versions, very good. And that's what it is. And he's very proud of that. Now, what did change the world for us is sin, right? When sin came into the world, everything changed. We know that, Adam and Eve, and they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, which was a beautiful place, a perfect place. Suddenly there's now pain, and there's work, and there's mosquitoes, and all these things that we now have to deal with. And all of this comes down to sin. But God's going to renew it all, and he's going to go back to his design. And I don't know. I can only hope that there might even be some surprises that we can't even envision. Matter of fact, I'm sure there's going to be things we can't even envision. So I'm looking forward to this. I hope you are. And if that doesn't get you fired up about going out and telling somebody else, don't you want to see the beautiful place, you know, the cities that are there, the country? I'm a kind of a passive person, so I like peaceful designs like that. So, but there could be many others. You know, at one point I says I was going to have you just, you know, close your eyes for a moment and tell me, how do you envision heaven? You know, maybe before you saw these, you had other ideas. You can also look at the picture that's behind the Welcome Center back there. That's another way through the gate. So, okay, so now we're going to go back and finish reading. Verses 15 through 23. Ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere. That sound like our missionaries going out again? Okay? There's so many things here that look like our church. I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your heart will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those who he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in a place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler, any authority, any power, or leader, or anything else in the world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything, everywhere, with his presence. So Paul has a prayer for them and a prayer that we should have for each other and for other churches. He talks about spiritual wisdom or spiritual wisdom to grow in our knowledge of God, flooded with the light of understanding the confident hope that we're given, and to understand God's power. Spiritual wisdom to grow in our knowledge of God. We need strong faith to do that. And from what Keith said last week, this is it here. You want it? The sword, the Bible. If you're not in this, you're not going to grow in knowledge of God. Bottom line. You want to get closer to God? You've heard this before. Step closer. You want to get away from God? Step back. Your choice. This is what's going to help you to grow in the knowledge of God, and the Holy Spirit will help you. Flooded with light. I think that's interesting that they used that, since he's the one that could probably term the phrase, saw the light. But flooded with light to understand the confident hope. Our hope of heaven, knowing that we're going to be saved. Isn't that great? Don't you just go to sleep at night knowing that it doesn't matter what's going to happen tomorrow, I'm still saved. God is with me. And when you put your life to him and you know that the Spirit is in you, there's a peace and a joy that comes with that. The inside of his promise of our inheritance, and then we have to understand God's power, the greatness of God's power that he shared with us through his Holy Spirit. Now, this letter that Paul wrote wasn't to a single person, although he did write certain letters to people. This one here was actually written to the church. I'm going to say the church as in all, our church, all churches, all of God's people. In this, just this first chapter, which is kind of a review, like I said, and as you read the next several chapters of Ephesians, you'll see it just kind of keeps building a little bit more off what he has here. Until they get to the end there when we're actually talking, as Keith did last week, about the armor of Christ and the importance of it. But here we see a lot of words come out: power, salvation, being united, and the one I like most is love. God's love, our love, the love that we share with others. When I look at this and say, you know, we should all worship and serve, we should, but not as one person. We're still worshiping and serving united in Christ. And all that we do, whether we're serving in a committee or whether we're serving up here on the worship team, deacons, elders, whatever, we're serving as a team. And I have another verse that I'd like to read, and obviously it's not in chapter 1, but it is on your bulletin's front. I'm going to actually read verse 1, and 2 and 3 are on there. And this is when he starts getting into a little bit more about the unity of the body of Christ. And he says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourself united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourself together with peace. We began earlier about asking, are we faithful followers of Jesus Christ? And I said, yes, and I truly believe that. As I look at our different committees, there's a number of them, whether you look at the worship and prayer, or whether you look at assimilation or discipleship, all the different committees, and then the deacons and all the subcommittees, the elders and our pastors. Yeah, I have to agree that we are certainly faithful followers. I'm going to tell you that I don't know, and you don't know, none of us really know, where our church is going to go in the next week, month, year. We just know we're looking forward to it. And whatever it is, I know God is going to make it excellent. And so I'm looking forward to that, and I hope you are too. Let me close in prayer for you. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for all that you do provide for us. I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, your peace. And I just pray that you would provide that for our church, that we'd be united, working for you, and doing all that we can. Just as Paul prayed, the spiritual wisdom that we can grow and flooding with the light to understand and be confident in our hope, to understand God's power. All these things, Lord, I just ask that you would provide for this church as we grow. And Lord, I do lift up Pastor Rob, Elaine, Hosanna, and ask that you'd be with them in the week ahead. Provide safety, calming, and your grace. Lord, we thank you for as quickly as this came about. All this is in your hands. We thank you for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name.